Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades last two times longer than other blades. Available only at Walmart. It's that time of the year, you know, where you get the jacket on. So it's like 69 degrees, 70 degrees now in Los Angeles, around the country. It's fall weather. I was in Utah Saturday. Oh, woke up. Good cold weather. Had a hoodie on.
Are the leaves changing yet?
Oh, no, they've changed. So yeah. Went out for a long walk with the dogs, and it's cold, and this is my favorite time of the year.
That's nice. Yeah, fall's the best.
Mark Schlereth now joining us. Via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So you have covered Tampa. I think you had a few of their games last year. So you know this Tampa defense really, really well. Levante David, the secondary is way, way better than people think. So yesterday, Rodgers struggles. So when you watched Tampa's defense at the end of last year and did a game, and nobody was watching their games, nobody cared. And I think you told me this about 6 months ago. You're like, watch out for this defense. Is it scheme? Is it athletic ability? What is it about the Buccaneers defense that you see? What is it that make, what's the special sauce?
Yeah, fearlessness, I think, is the biggest thing. They're going to come after you, and they're unapologetic in the way they come after you. They want to hit your quarterback. They have got very talented guys up front. You know, they really connect their front end with their back end. So guys like Sue, guys like JPP, they have the ability, Shaq Barrett, to rush the passer, but they are exceptionally talented on the back end, fearless in the way they play in the secondary, and there's not one guy that's afraid to go straight up, man, jump routes. That's just the way they play. So, you know, whether it's Dean or whether it's their safeties, they are just exceptional. Their linebackers and Levante David and White are incredible as well. Murphy Bunting is incredibly talented at the cornerback position. Davis, the cornerback? I think he's one of the best cover corners in football that nobody knows the name of. He is a lockdown man-to-man corner. And so they are just exceptionally built at all three levels of their defense, fast. And I said it last year, I covered a couple of their games. They struggled at first with a bunch of young players. They didn't know exactly what they were doing. Now they're tied together. I covered two games this year. I covered them against Carolina. I covered them against Denver. And they are one of the best defenses in football, bar none.
You know, it's you look at the, we get to the point in the year now, and we're going to see it, where defense takes over. The weather gets windier. I mean, yesterday in Tampa, it's windy. Can't make all the throws. This becomes more coaching and football. I don't even know what to make of Tennessee other than that Tennessee's really good. Tannehill looks like a new quarterback. It had to be Adam Gase because if this is what he is, this is really good. And they are so physical. This is like your Washington team. They are so physical. What is it like to be in an offense when you know, like Tennessee, that you can impose your will on them? Like, do you look at the film on Tuesday and Wednesday, and do you know then, oh, this is a finesse football team. We can run on this football team.
Yeah, there's always those, you know, teams that try to do things, that try to, you know, pinch and blitz and do a bunch of different things. And, you know, it's always interesting when you have this attitude of, this is what we are, we know what our identity is, and we know that we're just going to come out here and thunder punch you in the throat. And listen, if we lose doing that, it's okay. But when you do that on a consistent basis, the amount of play action you get, the amount of, you know, known looks that you're going to get, the amount of eight-man boxes. And the thing I love about Tennessee is, you know, there are a lot of coaches that use the excuse of eight-man or nine-man boxes. Oh, we can't run. We got to throw it. Because why? They want to throw it. They're offensive coordinators, not in Tennessee. Give us an eight-man box. We'll cram it down your throat with eight-man. And guess what? The thing about running against the eight-man box, when you break through that first line of scrimmage, there's nobody going to catch you because everybody's down within about 6-7 yards. So that's what makes them great is their attitude, their identity. They know what they want. And they set things up There's a reason Tannehill is so good. They're going to run it. They're going to give him, you know, if you're throwing it 25 times a game, you're literally dropping back in a seven-step type of drop where you're actually threatened as a quarterback maybe 4 to 7 times a game. Think about that. If I can eliminate the bad plays that happen with long dropbacks, with hitches, and where you have to hold the ball, and you only have to do it 7 times a game, and we've run the snot out of the ball, and those defensive linemen are too tired to pass rush, I mean, there's a reason that Tannehill is having such success. And I'm not saying that Tannehill isn't a good quarterback. He is. But in this system, they're taking all that pressure off. The play callers are taking all that pressure off that offense to produce in the passing game. And when you have that, when you're a complimentary football team that way, it's amazing how easy this game actually is.
So I when I watch the Niners, I see a quarterback that is controlled by his coach. You probably see a smash-mouth football team you love, but I watched San Francisco last night, and the numbers are great. And you look at Garoppolo's numbers, you're like, oh, he's just a great player. And I watch them, and I think, man, they don't turn it loose. He feels like he's controlled. What did you see from the Niners last night? Do you buy this kind of offense, which is 17 of the 23 completions, short, quick, get it out? Can you win big time with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they're so good. Kyle Shanahan does such a great job of, you know, in my mind, there's two types of coaches. There's the coaches that say, hey, we're going to create explosives because we're going to match up our best player against somebody that doesn't have business covering our best player. So they go out from the standpoint of, we're going to try to attack a person, attack a personnel grouping. We're going to attack that. Whereas Shanahan sets things up based upon what they do. We're going to run this play 4 times. This play may stink overall. We may only net, you know, 12, 13 yards off of this, but it's going to set up 2 explosive plays in the passing game for us that they're not going to cover. That's what he does. They create so many mismatches, and they create such a great, great opportunity for their offense to be successful, especially in the running game. The way that they create, take one play and give you 4 or 5 different personnel groupings, 4 or 5 different motions, 4 or 5 different formations, and they can take that one play and make it look to a defense like it's 13 different plays. You change one guy, one motion, one person, you go from 11 to 12, whatever the case may be, and it looks like all those plays to that particular defense. But for the offense, 10 players are doing the exact same thing they do on that play 100% of the time. Only one guy has to make an adjustment, and it just makes it exceptionally difficult for a defense to recognize what they're in and what they're trying to do. But for the offense, it's pretty simple. So that's the brilliance of what Kyle Shanahan is doing in San Francisco.
Brady and the Buccaneers had 11 penalties last Thursday. They had none yesterday. And it's pretty, you know, well documented. Brady chewed them out on national TV. He reamed people out. They didn't have a sack. They didn't have a turnover. They didn't have a penalty. You know, John Elway, and I said, to me, that's leadership. That leadership is confronting problems, not being passive aggressive. And they were a different team this week. Was Elway a yeller screamer when things went sideways?
No, John really, the only time John got mad or screamed or yelled is when we were running out of time to snap the ball. Like, he would yell at us to get up the line of scrimmage, let's get this thing going. But no, behind the scenes, if you talk to Tom Brady, or if you talk to, more importantly, Bruce Arians, the head coach, he'll tell you half the time when he's yelling on the sideline, he's yelling himself. You know, we all think that he's eviscerating somebody within that offense, or somebody that he is angry with. Is half the time he says he's cussing himself out. You know, you stupid, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so. So they're like, everybody accepts it. You know, I think the thing that's interesting to me is that from a national media standpoint, everybody's so ready to write Tom Brady's obituary, right? They just cannot wait to write the obit. And they get irritated, you know, that he's still playing and still playing at a high level. The biggest part of this offense, and talking to Tom Brady after doing a game early this year, was, listen, man, I was married to the New England Patriots for 20 years. I've just been dating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm trying to figure out what we are, what we have. Understand that Mike Evans played in the first week 1 of the season, but he hadn't practiced the whole camp. He didn't practice that week. Godwin, who's one of the best receivers in football, has been out with a hamstring and a concussion. So he's missed time. And then the biggest aspect of this offense is Tom Brady wants that ability to, you know, have nonverbal communication in the midst of a route. So, hey, if I see something, trust me, I'm going to lead you away from coverage, away from leverage. And I don't think they've ever had that in their offense before under Jameis Winston. So Jameis threw it to the spot where it was supposed to be. Brady's throwing it away from a place where it can get picked off or where you can get yourself in trouble. And so many times as I was watching film preparing to call one of their games, there were so many times he threw it to a spot expecting a tight end or a receiver to adjust to where he's throwing the ball to keep them out of harm's way. And they stand there and watch it go behind him like he's throwing it to somebody else. He goes, no, that's, hey, that's for you. Like, I'm keeping you out of harm's way. And those are the nuanced part of football where the national media will look at it and go, wow, Brady's so inaccurate. Look how inaccurate he is. Where he's saying, no, I want my receiver to adjust to it because I'm trying to keep him out from a big hit or a potential bat down or potential interception. And that's the nuanced part of football that until you're watching that coach's tape, you really don't understand or you really don't see. And as they start to develop that and they start to get that timing down, this is going to be a dangerous football team come the playoff stretch.
By the way, you're a big Denver radio host. Drew Locke yesterday in Denver, you know, it may not show up statistically. I watched all that game, but I thought he made some great throws. They just kept settling for field goals. So in Denver today, is the feeling that you found your franchise quarterback in Drew Locke? What is that the feeling today?
I think there's a feeling that Drew Locke could be the guy. You know, statistically, this is where statistics get you in trouble. You know, statistically, it's not a very good game. It's not a good looking game. But he had three or four drops, a couple of drops that should have probably been touchdowns. You know, and then he made a couple of bonehead decisions late in that game. He had one where,
yeah, real bad.
You know, he threw a back shoulder fade when, yep, the receiver had already stacked the corner. So when that happens, when you're, you know, it's kind of old John Madden. When you're even, he's leaving. You know, when you've got leverage on the cornerback and you've beaten him deep, you throw the go. If that cornerback stays on top of you, that's when you throw the back shoulder fade. So that was a big mistake. The other one that threw late, had 3:23 left in the game, he throws one deep. The offense coordinator on a first down called four verticals. Like, there was no underneath route there. So you're basically saying, hey, chuck this one deep. Let's take a chance. Not with 3:23 when you're running the snot out of the ball. It was just a really, really bad decision and a play call by that offensive coordinator. So I think Drew Locke played a lot better. But again, you know, the true test, a lot of people here in Denver are like, hey, man, maybe that's the signature win for Vic Fangio, the signature win for this Broncos team. Tell me after this Kansas City game that they've lost nine straight. The last time the Broncos beat Kansas City was in Kansas City in 2015 with Peyton Manning being the quarterback, and it took a strip on a I think it was a Jamal Charles strip by Brandon Marshall and a scoop and score by Bradley Roby, none of which are going to play in this game. So that was the last time the Broncos won against Kansas City. It's been nine straight just pummelings by the Chiefs so far.
Mark Schlereth, three rings, two-time Pro Bowler, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Good football today, my man. Good. Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Colin. Take care, buddy.
Kansas City, Buffalo after our show at 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 Eastern, and tonight, Cowboys, Arizona. I do like the Cowboys. In fact, I had the Cowboys schedule out this morning. You know, it's funny. You can think two things at one time, like, I think Dak's the future of the Cowboys, but I think Andy Dalton with this team could win a bunch of games. The question will become, what's the offensive line for Dallas like? Can Andy get any time? But I looked at the schedule this morning with Dallas. People get so offended if you say Andy Dalton can win games in Dallas. But I looked at the schedule for the Dallas Cowboys this morning. If they win tonight and they're favorites, and I think they will, and they beat Washington, they should. I have them losing to Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, then beating the Vikings, who may have a new coach, and then beating Washington again, then losing at Baltimore, beating Cincinnati, losing to the Niners, and then I have them beating the Giants in New York at the end of the year. Now, that leaves them 9-7. That's kind of what I thought Dak would be. Now, let's say they lose to Philly both times. That leaves them at 8-8. So when I look at Dallas, it's not that Dak's not better than Dalton, but with this offense, if they can just give Andy a little time to throw, he is a distributor. He throws a very accurate, nice football. Doesn't have a huge arm. He's 32. He's got a lot of quarterbacking left. It's a lousy division. You can think two things at one time, that you think Dak is better. He is. But Dalton, with this setup, he is a – what Dalton is a pass-first point guard, and this team has a bunch of good shooters. That's what they are. Now, if they didn't have a lot of shooters and you needed Dalton to score, it's not what he does. That is not what he does. Dak has the ability to move the pocket, roll out more, do a little bit himself. But in terms of just take the snap, get 2.5 to 3 seconds, distribute the ball to Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Zeke. It's good. It's really good. They got those. Cedric Wilson can play. And Dallas got about 5 really special offensive players. Give him 2.5 seconds. Let this pass first point guard distribute. I think Dallas wins tonight, and I think they go on a little bit of a mini roll here for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Derrick Henry is spectacular.
Yeah.
I think he's my favorite player to watch in the whole league right now.
200. How much does he weigh? 260, and he runs like that?
He looks like a cheat code. He looks like he belongs in, like, the next league.
Right,
like,
right.
Whatever's above the NFL is where Derrick Henry is supposed to be playing. He carried the Texans to a 5-0 start in the 42-36 overtime win against the Texans. He had a career-high 264 scrimmage yards, including a 94-yard touchdown run. God. It's just unbelievable to watch. It was the second touchdown run for over 90 yards in his career. You should not be that giant and athletic and that fast.
It's funny. When he came out of Alabama, I could be wrong. They've had so many great players and so many great backs, but he wasn't as highly graded. Like, a lot of people passed on him. A lot of people just didn't think he could make people miss. I don't know if he's put on 15 pounds since he came to the NFL.
Oh, they don't miss. He just throws them off of him.
Yeah. He is so strong. And that kind of, what was he? He was a second round pick. I mean, I remember the draft and everybody was like, he's a good player, but he's not special. Like, that's why so much of the NFL is, like, he was a dominant college player. But I remember at Alabama, he was, like, one of these 35 carry guys. And there was a concern, like, okay, he'll be a shot fighter 3 years into the league. Like, just too many carries. He is one of these guys, like Frank Gore. He has a limitless number of NFL carries. He just gets stronger as the game goes on.
Something about Tennessee running backs, by the way, as well. He's the only the fifth player in NFL history with multiple touchdown runs of 90 yards or more. He had 22 carries, 212 rush yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and 2 receptions for 52.
Does anybody rush for 212 yards anymore?
And he's absurd. As good as Ryan Tannehill is playing, Derrick Henry is just...
Well, he's kind of the soul.
He's
of the
soul
team.
And the juice of that team. So they have the Steelers next. That'll be a huge game, obviously.
Great
both undefeated.
Game.
Then at the Bengals. That could be a little rough for Cincinnati. And then the Bears, which will be another really good game at 5-1 currently. So Deshaun Watson looks pretty visibly disappointed when the Texans lost the coin toss. But Twitter was kind of joking, like, when you know Derrick Henry's about to fall. I mean, it's just rough. Love Deshaun Watson, too. It's just a rough situation.
It ended up being a wildly entertaining game.
It was a good game. Romeo Crennel said that the Texans went for 2 on the last touchdown, so kicking extra point because he wanted to... Put it out of reach for the tight ends. I don't hate the call. I mean,
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. You gotta try and win it. So the Chiefs and Bills face off today in an early Monday night matchup. Both teams looking back to bounce back from lopsided losses in their last games. And according to Fox Bet, Kansas City is favored by 5.5 points over Buffalo in Buffalo.
I think I like Buffalo in the points.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points to give. Again, what's my feeling about betting? Give me a good quarterback and a lot of points. I think Buffalo's the bet here.
Coverage begins at 4:30 Eastern on Fox. This is really it's like the battle of the big arms.
It's also going to be kind of wet and sloppy. It's supposed to be raining in Buffalo, so it could be kind of lower scoring and a little more defense than you think.
Well, yeah, that's kind of interesting because we're kind of expecting a shootout tonight. I mean, these are two really high-powered offenses.
Best.
Although the running game hasn't really gotten going yet for Buffalo, this could be an AFC Championship matchup. So really fun early game. Lots of sports this weekend. Just feels like it never stops. It's great. Went from having no sports to just having something spectacular to watch every day. World Series starting tomorrow night. And this weekend, Nick Saban was cleared to coach just hours before Alabama and Georgia kicked off. He had, I believe, 3 negative COVID tests, so he was able to be on the sideline. Led the Crimson Tide to another dominant win. Georgia scored on 4 straight possessions to jump out to a 24-17 lead, but Alabama stole some momentum with a field goal at the end of the half. Felt really big. Like, that field goal felt like a, all right, well, Alabama's not done in this.
Alabama wide receivers. 3 years ago, that program pivoted from, it was corners. They had great pass rushers and corners. Now, it's all about wide receivers. You can't guard their wide receivers. They have like, and they just lost Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy. And the backups, I mean, they, for no other college can lose Jerry Jeudy and Ruggs. Like that level of wide receiver, first round wide receivers, come back and they've got 3 NFL guys. They just totally replaced them.
They scored 24 unanswered points and shut the Bulldogs out in the second half. They won their 6th straight game against Georgia, 41-24. It was a fun game, though. It was competitive and it was fun, but Alabama showed the Alabama dominance in the second half for sure.
Yeah, that poor quarterback. You know, he had a decent first half, and then it just... And if this is what they do to Georgia physically, it's just, let's get them to play either Ohio State or Clemson.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Georgia's a great team, but Alabama showed in the second half. They're just a more complete team.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Coming up next on Monday, our 3-word game. Every single NFL game can be described succinctly in 3 words. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech's more than a grill, it's a lifestyle. Smart grill technology built by grillers. For grillers, RecTech with a Q.com, RecTeq.com. We do it on Monday. We call it our 3-word game that every NFL game can be succinctly described in 3 words, and here we go.
Browns at Steelers.
Baker gets rolled. 54 passer rating, second fewest passing yards of his career, and the 11th career game with multiple interceptions for Baker. Only Jameis Winston and Phillip Rivers have more since Baker entered the league. He is now the liability of the franchise.
Lions at Jaguars.
Good day, Galladay. Kenny Galladay is probably the best receiver in the league that nobody talks about. They scored 34 points, the most in 3 years. And when he is healthy and DeAndre Swift is healthy, the Lions have a real offense.
Bengals at Colts.
Are Colts good? They fell behind 21-0 to Cincinnati. Their defense gave up 400 yards. I don't even know. Like, I know their defense is good with Darius Leonard, but sometimes he doesn't play. And how do you keep falling into these massive holes? Was it 21-0 or 14-0? Yeah, they fell behind Cincinnati 21-0.
Bears at Panthers.
Are Bears good? I mean, Nick Foles, 1 touchdown, 1 pick in each of his starts. Fewer than 250 passing yards in each of his starts. I mean, Bucks are 4-2, feel better. Rams are 4-2, feel better. The Bears lead their division. I don't know if they're any good.
Ravens at Eagles.
Lamar hit a ceiling. 4th straight game with under 200 yards passing. 3rd game with a completion percentage under 60%. That's probably the most troubling. Gotten into some bad habits of drifting way too far back. Too much flipping. Aaron Rodgers did this yesterday. Too much flipping the ball, sidearm. Step into it. Throw. Teams are kind of begging Lamar to throw. And I don't love their wide receiving options, but they got to button it up.
Texans at Titans.
Hail the King. King Henry. Derrick Henry. 3rd career game with 200 yards rushing and 2 rushing touchdowns. Tied for the most in NFL history. Running away from cornerbacks at that size is unfair.
Washington at Giants.
Better every week. 3rd time holding an opponent under 20 points this year. Giants defense is legitimate. They really do have a good defensive front. They converted 65% on third down. Daniel Jones is good enough to win games. Again, the Jets get worse every week. The Giants aren't good, but they get better every week. It tells me one New York franchise has the right coach. Just be patient.
Broncos and Patriots.
Cam needs help. New England's last in the NFL in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. This was a Brady complaint. Now, Cam got real loose yesterday with his mechanics, and the offensive line was beat up. They have no vertical threat. That Bird kid, that's not a starting receiver. This is the weakest receiving core in the NFL. N'Keal Harry appears to be a bust. Can't separate. Edelman now, drops are contagious. Their best receiver is James White, the running back. They have no weapons. There's nothing to throw to. It's the weakness, the blind spot of the best football coach ever, Bill Belichick.
Falcons at Vikings.
Didn't blow lead. Matt Ryan was great yesterday. He had time to throw. Going to be interesting to see what Minnesota can do now, because Mike Zimmer, Kirk Cousins, time is running out. Mike Zimmer, time could be running out. He's not easy to deal with. I thought Matt Ryan yesterday looked great. They jumped off to a huge lead, a lead so big, even the Falcons didn't blow it.
Jets and Dolphins.
0-8. Since Sam Darnold arrived, the Jets have never won a football game. They average 9 a game and 92 total yards a game without Sam Darnold. So you can blame Sam Darnold. But Adam Gase had his 32nd career loss by 10 or more points. They literally average 90 yards a game when Sam Darnold doesn't play. It's not Darnold. Darnold, if they pick Trevor Lawrence, there's going to be minimum 2 to 3 teams that make a run at Sam Darnold.
Packers and Bucks.
Baller versus Baylor. I'm sorry, but I watch Aaron Rodgers. He has a career losing record if he trails at any point of a football game. Isn't that odd? I cannot be the only person. Tim Tebow has a winning record. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, these guys are like 65%. I thought after the second pick, Aaron checked out. Was not going to throw the ball. It was windy. He was not going to throw the ball down the field. And it's like, dude, if you want to beat this Tampa defense, you got to air it out. You can't worry about throwing 3 or 4 picks. You are not going to beat this Tampa defense being conservative.
Rams at 49ers.
Remote-controlled Garoppolo. The 49ers had 226 receiving yards after the catch. This is dink and dunk city. San Francisco had the fewest air yards, 613 among all qualified quarterbacks this season. I just think it's too conservative. Everybody said, oh, this is what Kyle Shanahan does. I don't think, now in the red zone, that's a great play. But they got a running back injury issue now. They're going to have to air it out. I don't think you can win with this offense. And I actually like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. I like their wide receiving talent. I think it's really good. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing how much you could save on car insurance. Geico Ween is here. Get a quote at geico.com. So there we go. Today, Kansas City, Buffalo, I think 5.5 points. Fox bet, that's the line. It's hard not to take Buffalo at home, 5.5 points. Coming off, it goes back to my theory. The reason I took the Niners to win this week, when you get embarrassed on TV, Buffalo played against Tennessee. It was a standalone game, no other game, and Buffalo looked terrible. It's my rule. Well-coached, well-quarterback teams that are humiliated always play good the next week. Now watch. The Niners played great last week. They were humiliated by Miami. Watch Green Bay play really good next week. So Green Bay goes to Houston next week. Watch Green Bay throttle Houston next week. They'll play a great football game. Cleveland, by the way, a very talented team, is at Cincinnati. Cleveland will play very good football next week. New England looked like garbage. They looked like garbage. Watch New England host the Niners next week. New England, take New England to beat San Francisco next week. If you got a good coach and a capable quarterback and you just play an awful football game. I mean, you saw Tampa at Chicago. That's why I should have taken Tampa. I should have figured it out. Brady was that bad. Instead of seeing a team that would be rejuvenated, I saw a limited football team, And what did Tampa do? That's the best football game. That's the cleanest football game that's ever been played in Tampa. No penalties, no sacks, turnover. It is amazing. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Good football games tonight. Speak for yourself. Fizz coming up next.